Yes, he's alive. He's alive and well. So tonight we can be thankful. The Lord is alive. Wouldn't it be tragic if he wasn't alive? Where would we be? How lost we would be. Well, let's be thankful tonight. We've got Jesus. And this is a day that we would look in that direction to say we want to remember. Surely that Jesus arose gloriously from the dead. He said, destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. Well, little did they know, they were there to destroy that temple. But in 3 days, he rose it up again, didn't he? Thank God for the victory. Well, the scripture is sure in its word to us to say, makes clear to us as it says it, for our good, you know, because he lives, we'll live also. Amen. And because he lives, you and I can enjoy life tonight. Enjoy life. For how long? Forever. Praise God. Well, I'm very thankful to Jesus. Looking to him as the author. Looking to him as the finisher of our faith. If there's anything to finish in your life, he's the one who has to finish it, right? He's the finisher, but he finished the work. Do you believe he finished it? Do you believe there was a work? He said it was finished. Hey, that's the work that you and I have got to depend on. It's not what we do. It's going to get ourselves, you know, or get us into that realm of life. It's what he did for us. So I'm thankful. Looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus, that author and that finisher of our faith. So he wrote that story. He wrote that book. He wrote those things that would be fall him along the way. And before he came into the world, it was there in the scriptures. All these sufferings, all those things that would befall him. Well, he was there and he bore that out for us, willing to go to Calvary to make a way for us to be saved. So if anybody asks you, it surely costs a lot of money. Huh? A lot of what? Not money. A lot of terrible suffering. Such a holy, just person. Such a holy one. God's own son. Laying down his life willingly. Submitting to the will of God. That we could be saved, bearing our sins. Well, let's be thankful for that tonight. So, Resurrection Sunday is an important day in all our lives, isn't it? It's an important day. It's important to us because it's something we believe. And we realize this is an event we look at year by year. And we're looking at it year by year because, you know, it was a year ago that we saw it before. And the year before that. But then, always you read the word and there's that message. And there's those things that Jesus suffered and bore for us. Let's keep it in our minds. Let's not let those things slip. Right? Let's not let that good knowledge slip. Let's not forget those important things. They're very, very important. I'm in John's Gospel in chapter 3. Look at some scripture here that bears up a message, and we'll look at that message. Glory to God. We're in John's Gospel, chapter 3, and I'm going to begin at verse 10. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know. And testify that which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? I suppose it could have been nice to have the Lord to talk to us. That we would have been willing, like he is speaking here, that we wouldn't be. that we would be willing to hear what he spoke to us, even of earthly things, that we would be prepared in our hearts that he would speak heavenly things to us. Would you like the Lord to speak heavenly things to you? Would you like to tell him to tell us what's over there? And he made mention that mansions were over there, didn't he? He made mention of the mansions in light of making a place for us. They would go and make a place for us and return to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we would be also. But where do we get the knowledge of heavenly things? Well, we read certain things and it does expand our knowledge. John talked about some of those things and helping us to see as he was given visitations in heaven and saw things that others had never seen. But who's able to receive spiritual things like this? This is what the Lord is saying. Well, if you can't receive natural things, if you can't take to hear natural things, how would you learn spiritual things? How would you learn of spiritual things? Well, I'd like to know more about spiritual things. Wouldn't you, really? Would you like to know more about spiritual things? Would you like to know about heavenly things? What's up there? There's a lot that could be said, but Jesus is talking because there are people he's talked to and dealt with, and they couldn't even embrace earthly things that he was talking. Talking down on an earthly level, and they couldn't grasp, they couldn't take. But oh my, I sure want my heart to be ready. I want to receive any knowledge, any understanding the Lord will give of heavenly things. No man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now, we bear in our mind, hey, who's went up to heaven? Well, who's gone up there to see? Who's gone up there to visit? Who took a spaceship up? Who went up there somehow? We haven't gone there. We haven't gone there to see. We don't know how. There don't appear to be any way, except we read the words that Jesus said in John chapter 14 when he said to us, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we'll stay with Jesus then. One day we'll see those things. One day they will be clear to our eyes. One day we'll understand. But for now, let's keep our hearts in tune and let's not sink back into a state in a place that we don't receive, we don't understand, and we're shrugging our shoulders and running with a crowd that says, I don't understand. I don't understand. Got to have more than that, don't we? Got to go beyond that. We've got to learn. What do we have to go by? We've got God's Word. And I believe we have what he wanted to reveal to us. And here we can see, in listening to the words of God's own Son, talking about things then that are heavenly, and talking to us then, that no man ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now you remember the story of Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness? Maybe you don't. There was a day when there was an invasion, and the snakes were coming from everywhere. And they were coming and crawling into the camp, and they were biting this one and biting that one, and people were dying of the snake bites. People were sick of the snake bites. And then, you know, they had been murmuring and they'd been complaining and murmuring and complaining, and God let this enemy come into the camp. And so when they see that they were being destroyed by the snakes, that they were all being bitten by these poisonous snakes, they started then to cry out and to complain. And in this realm, they were in a state where, you know, they wanted God to help them then. Israel, you know, had to get down and really into it. And then they'd want to cry out. Takes a lot of pressure on you sometimes to get you to cry out. Sometimes it just takes a pressure. And you know, the word that came to Moses to do was to take and make a brazen snake, a brazen serpent, and put it on a pole and set it up in the midst of the camp. And there it would be up there where people could come and look up at it. And that in coming and looking up at the serpent, God would heal them of their snake bites. God would spare them and God would heal them. Jesus makes mention of that in this verse I'd read. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Thus making a tie here, as that serpent was lifted up, as there was a healing, as there was help, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Jesus must be lifted up and lifted up to Calvary. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Such a simple message. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Who would want to perish? Multitudes are going to perish. Multitudes are going to perish. Why? Because they don't want to look to Jesus. They don't want to look to the cross. They don't want to look that the sufferings of Jesus was for them. They don't want to hear those things. They don't want to look that way. Or they're blind and they can't see. But tonight, let's us know. Hey, this is a great word. Let's take it serious and deep in our hearts. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Then one of our favorite Bible verses, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, thinking of that, God gave his Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, one of the things that God tags along and you can't change is that salvation is based upon Jesus, but it's based upon believing. It's based upon having faith in believing. That we've got to look at him, looking unto him, believing him, and believing what he did for us at Calvary. So tonight, let's make sure that this is one of the things that we do, and we're aware of our need, that we don't want to perish. Therefore, let us keep clearly focused. It's Jesus. It's believing. Believing that Christ died and rose again. Hey, that's the gospel. Christ died, Christ rose again, Christ ascended into heaven. Christ will come back again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, we may be also. So there's that thought that's deep and rich. We must believe. Salvation is based upon faith, not upon works, not of works of righteousness which we did, but by his mercy he saved us. Can we say amen? So there's more to the message that he's speaking. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus did not come to condemn the world. How easy it would be to condemn the world, huh? From his position, from God's lofty position in the heavens, how easy it would be to just curse the world. But that's not God's plan. That's not God's love for us. That's not God now sending Jesus into the world to condemn us. God sent his Son into the world that we through him might be saved. Now that's the divine purpose, isn't it? Christ came that we could be saved. That was the purpose. So we don't hear Jesus condemning the world. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But always making clear, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. It's a great saving thing when you look at how God reached down and made a way. Now I believe with all my heart the way was made through the cross that the world could be saved. I believe the scriptures indicate clearly that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That the gospel is to reach out to the world. That all men could hear this gospel, and in hearing and believing it, they could be saved and find life. And this is the plan, and this is the purpose of God. It's simple. It's not a complicated plan, but it often cramps the lifestyle of people. And when they look at the gospel, they look at their lifestyle, and they'd rather be over there in the sewer, over there in the bondage, over there in the mess, and not want to turn. Turn away and turn unto Jesus and believe and be saved. Can't believe that the greatest joy in life unfolds itself in our hearts when we come to know the Lord. Amen? Thank God. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So a man is condemned because he won't believe, because he hasn't believed. Which concludes now, the greatest sin to jam the doors of hell is the rejection of Jesus, the failure to receive him. The only remedy for sin. The only remedy for sin that brings life. And we look to say, man is condemned because he just fails to take and to believe and embrace the gospel. So you can die in your sins. You can go to hell. You can wind up in judgment. And you'll be there not because God wants you there. Not because God just was reserving a place for you there. But because you won't believe that you might be saved and have eternal life. So a man then who refuses to receive him and believe on him, he's now in a place where he's condemned already. Now he is condemned. Christ didn't come to condemn him. Christ came to bring to the world the remedy for sin, the victory that we might then rise above. But why do men then allow themselves to get into this rut, into this place where he who came not to condemn, they reject and thus in the process bring themselves under condemnation? So that's what he's teaching. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So that's a sad thing, really, isn't it? Now, folks, maybe it's not easy for us to grasp and take a scene and try to stretch it out in our own mind and thoughts or imagination to think of what the day will be like. It's a day spoken of in the Scripture. And it speaks of the time, you know, down at the end, it's the great judgment. It's the great judgment at the resurrection of the wicked. Those who did not get saved. Those who did not turn to God in their life. Those who did not receive Christ that they could be saved. And they come to this great judgment. Now, you can't imagine what a judgment like this would be, but we do have somewhat of a picture. The Lord will be there at this judgment, and the Scripture said, and the heavens fled away. That like the appearing of the Lord would cause the heavens to just flee away. An awesome scene, and there was set a great white throne. And on this great white throne sits the judge, the Son of God. And now the world that refused to receive him, to believe on him and be saved, now they're coming to be judged of him for their sins. They didn't need to be there. they shouldn't have had to be there. When men refuse to believe the gospel and be saved, they're going to come to that judgment. And there, they're going to be judged for their sins. Now the sins that they could be forgiven of in believing him, now they're having to give an account for them. This is going to be a horrible day of judgment. You know, this day is spoken of as the second death. The second death. Hey, to die is enough. Hey, to die once is too much. To die twice. The second death. So try to bear in your mind that King Jesus now is going to judge. And he's going to sit on this white throne and he's going to judge all of those who refused him. Who refused to believe and embrace the Lord and be saved. Refused the mercies of God, that God would forgive and blot out all of your sins and iniquities and give you everlasting life. So the world is condemned then at this judgment because they failed to believe. That's all. So it's a clear matter. If man would only believe now, he wouldn't face those sins in judgment. They would be forgiven. But yet, a man wants to go on his way and continue to live in sin, and then he'll wind up one day at this judgment, and then the books in heaven will be open. And listen, all that a man has done will surely be recorded. The books will be open. The book of life and a book of a man's life. A book of remembrance of what he's done, what his life consisted of. And from these things, he's going to be judged. Now it said the books is open. I perceive the Bible as one of those books. The Word of God. Would God judge us apart from the Word of God? You got the rule book right in your hands. I've got a copy laying on the pulpit here. Judge us by his word. You can have a copy of his word, can't you? You can have a copy of his word at your house. You can have your own personal copy. You can read it every day. You'll know how to live by his word, that you won't need to fear the day of judgment. I thank God the saved don't have to come to the white throne for judgment. They that's saved and die in Jesus surely are going to one day stand before the Lord to be rewarded, but not to be judged for sin. We should thank God our salvation has brought us there. So tonight we want to think of the importance of believing. Why should anybody go to hell? There's no need. The Lord had the world in mind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God isn't exempting anybody. The way is that whosoever will may come. Whosoever, that means you. That includes you. Whosoever, that includes you. You can come to Jesus. You can embrace the Lord with your heart. You can get saved and know him and walk with him and have life. It's up to you. So this is what the Lord is teaching here in John 3. Men are condemned, surely. God didn't come to condemn them, but they're condemned already because they don't want to believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Just a matter of faith and believing. And this is a condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So, this is the condemnation now. He said men are condemned already because they believe not. This is the condemnation. So that we might know what the condemnation is. That light has come into the world, and they love darkness and not light. They love darkness because their deeds were evil, and they didn't want to come to the light that their deeds would be made manifest. So they wanted then to follow in the pursuit of their sins and didn't want to turn and believe in the Lord with their heart. It's ashamed that it's like this, but how else could it be? Do you love darkness? Do you love light? Do you walk in the light? Do we really walk in the light? Hey, the Christian life is a light, a walking in light, not a walking in darkness. Now tonight, let's know that He sent His Son Jesus. He sent a light. And because the light came and men refused to receive the light, and men were condemned because they would not now embrace that light, they would not come to that light that their deeds may be reproved. Light will reprove our deeds. But men like darkness and they like to hide their deeds. Wouldn't want anybody to know the things they've done. Better we come to Jesus. Better we come and embrace the light and believe in the light that's shining, surely. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Neither cometh he to the light because his deeds that neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So we don't have to fear coming to the light, do we? We don't have to fear that somehow the cloak is going to be pulled off of our life, and all of our wicked and evil deeds are going to be seen. We came to the light, and we found Christ, and we found forgiveness. And He blotted those sins out, and they're not going to be remembered against us. We're not charged with them. Hey, there's not a book in heaven with those works charging them against us. Rather, God is imputing to us righteousness, not sin. Let's be thankful tonight for the great salvation that Christ brought us. Now, I would want us all to think in our heart about our deeds. Best to come to the light that all our deeds be reproved. That all our deeds, hey, let's not have hidden deeds, right? Let's let all our deeds be made manifest. We come to the light. Jesus is the light. When we come to Jesus, hey, we come confessing. Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me of my sins. We come asking mercy. We come asking cleansing. We come knowing that Jesus could forgive us, that we could have our sins blotted out. In church, how foolish it would be to keep those sins and retain those sins and not seek forgiveness. So this is what the Lord has given us, and this is what we should take to heart, that our coming to Christ, our believing on Him, brought us to light and to salvation. And this is what He came for. He didn't come to condemn us. We were condemned in our sins. We had no way out. A man condemned in his sins has no way out. How do you get out of that mess? How do you untangle your life? How do you unscramble your eggs? How do you put the egg back there with the yolk in it again? How do you change it? How do you take the scrambled life and the mess and the sin and the ungodly? How does a man straighten this mess out? How does he get past his evil ways and evil deeds? In himself, he has no power. In himself, he has no way. Must come to the light. Jesus is that light. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the remedy is clear. We come to the light, we come to Jesus, and we confess to Him that we're a sinner. We're lost. We need Him. And we cry out to Him for His mercy, and we cry out to Him to save us and forgive us. He'll hear us. When we come in sincerity, He'll hear us and give us life. If the world could only take a hold of that, that's a great message, isn't it? That message is for the world. God so loved the world. Well, who's that addressed to? God so loved planet Earth? He's not talking about the planet. He's talking about its what? Its inhabitants. Its inhabitants. The inhabitants of many generations. Think of the multitudes of people that have been brought into the world since the gospel of Jesus was preached. Think of the multitudes that have come generation after generation after generation. Think of the multitudes that could be saved by this very, very account. Saved and washed and cleansed in the blood of Christ and have life. Just think the way is made that everyone could come to Him. He's not exempting any. He's not saying, I won't accept any from this nation or that nation. He's not saying, I won't exempt anybody or take anybody from this race or that race. Hey, it's all people. It's all men. The gospel reaches out with a great power. It embraces the lost. It'll embrace the poor and the needy of the world. Those who will come and turn and believe. And it doesn't matter what nation they're from. If they hear the gospel of Jesus and work righteousness, they'll be accepted with the Lord. So let's be thankful now. We don't want to be in a realm of condemnation. And we should have good knowledge ourselves that we might show others how they can get saved. And their need of getting saved. What greater scripture do we have to point to the fact they could be saved? That God will save them. But they best get saved. So let's be thankful tonight that this is something we can take into our hearts. So we know He's risen, don't we? We're not doubting that, are we? You sure He's risen? My, I have a book upstairs there, you know, a magazine. It was back in 1988. And here these people are writing these accounts. All the things they're saying about Jesus. Talking about the wild dogs eating His body. And you know what I mean? They go through all of these great lies of Satan. All of this great deception. But we know better. And we know that Jesus is risen. We know that Jesus is living. We know that He came into this world to save us. And that's what He's doing. He's saving. And He's willing to save all that come unto Him. So we should be interested in being a vessel in His hand, and shouldn't we? He's got a message of salvation now that reaches out. And He is looking unto us and His call unto us. And the power of the Spirit of God given unto us to be filled with the Spirit. That we might be a witness. That we may be a powerful witness for the Lord. That we may be a witness of Him, a light. And that's what the Holy Ghost given to us. That was the main thrust in Acts 1:8, that we should receive the Holy Ghost. Because this would be the endowment of power from on high to be a witness for the Lord. Now you want to be a witness for the Lord, don't you? You feel you're really in there, in that realm, in that place? I mean, you as a Spirit-filled Christian fit well there. Hey, that's a place devised for you, a place where you can witness. The Lord saying He wants you to do it, and I'm not going to give to you to do it on your own. He would give us the Holy Spirit, that we would be full of His Spirit, that He could work through our vessel. So the work becomes easy when the Lord lives within. When the power of the Spirit of God then is indwelling us, it's easy to do the will of God and to do the work of God because He from within the Lord is doing it. He's working these works within us. Hey, we're a great part of that. It's in our life. The Spirit is in our body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so tonight, let's give ourselves more fully. Let's give ourselves more fully to soul winning, to helping others. There's this lost world, and so many are in darkness. And you're a light. They're in darkness, and you're a light. You know, light tends to expose the darkness, huh? It comprehends it. I mean, it just stops it. It just turns it around. It can't abound. And so where real light is, what can darkness do? It was dark until you turned the light on. The light overpowered the darkness. Now our light, the light of Jesus in us, the light now that's reflected because of the working of the Holy Spirit is the light that people need to see. So we should want to be an effective witness for Christ. I don't know how to tell you to be effective apart from the Holy Ghost. And apart from our yielding and submitting unto Him and allowing Him to work through us. He wants to work through you. He wants you to be a vessel that he can use. And here he's reaching out with a message. But I think he'd like you to pick up the message and take it with you. Take the message with you. Take it wherever you go. Take the gospel. That's what people need to hear. How lost we were without the gospel. I didn't know how lost I was without the gospel. There was a day I didn't know there was a gospel. I didn't know that there was a salvation. I didn't know there was a way through this. I was ignorant. I didn't know. I didn't have somebody telling me. Nobody showing me. But I'll tell you how many times I was running scared, wondering about what's going to happen to you when you die. And you wondered, how could you go through that and how could you wonder? Listen, we all should know. We all should know. Somebody said you have to die to find out. I mean, would you like to go down there and see if there's a place down there in the heart of the earth called hell? Would you like to go down there? Would you like to go and check it out? Somebody said, I'd like to check that out before I get saved. Just in case. Hey, if it's not there, why do I want to get saved? Oh. There's a place. There is a place. Now, I want us all to think in our heart, there's a place, yes. And there's every day, like Luke, what is it, 16? Luke 18? Luke 16, I believe. Speaking of, Lazarus and the beggar and the rich man. You know that whole story. And that was a rich man faring sumptuously every day. He was rich. He had lots of money. And there was a man named Lazarus, and he was a beggar. And he was sick. And he come to be laid at the doorstep, you know, out along the sidewalk. And the rich man went out and went by him every day and see him there. And the rich man seeing him there might have mercy on him. And, hey, order some food to be sent out to him and take care for him. But the rich man didn't. The rich man was enjoying all of his comforts. The rich man thought he had everything made. The rich man didn't have any knowledge at all that he was lost and apart from God, and his money couldn't save him. And the beggar, he was covered with sores. Seemed like the only remedy was an old remedy of letting the dogs lick your sores. Cleanse your wounds for you. When a dog has a bad wound, he'll lick his wounds. I mean, he's cleansing his wound. Well, the dogs were licking his wounds. The man didn't care. He didn't do anything to help him. Oh, if only the garbage can will be full enough today that at least a crust of bread might fall off or something. It's awful to be rich and covetous and no love nor desire and no care whether another man lives or dies. No love at all in your heart. Only care about your wealth and your position and you. And that's the case. One so poor and one so rich. But then the rich man died. The beggar died. The rich man died, and his death, hey, they buried him. And he now opened his eyes in hell, and he was in the flames, and he was being grievously tormented. Oh, the fire was hot, and he was in it. That's where the rich man wound up. Oh, and he cried out, and he cried out. Lazarus was over now. He had died, and the angels of God had come and picked him up and took him to Abraham's bosom. So there's a place called paradise, and there's a place now called hell, and between them is a great gulf. No way you could get from one to the other. No way you could get from hell to paradise or from paradise to hell. No man could cross the gulf. And so the man is over there and he's crying out. And he's crying out and he's now praying. And he's wanting help and he needs God and he's wanting to find some way. And he's praying and he said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. And cool my tongue. I'm grievously tormented in this fire. When he got to hell, he could see. He could feel. He talked. Then he wanted to pray. And there was none to answer. Abraham was there and Lazarus was in his bosom comforted. And then he thought about his brothers. You got brothers, sisters, parents, someone you need to think about. He had brothers, about five of them. And so he was crying out to Abraham that somebody would be sent back. Send somebody back from the dead to tell them, lest they come to this horrible place. Not so. Not so. Let them take and let them believe the law and the prophets. Let them believe the word of God. Now there's that man, and look where he wound up. Was it that God's arm was short and it couldn't save? That his arm wasn't long enough and strong enough to reach out and save him? He didn't want saved. He was living sumptuously every day. And that beggar was in torment and hungry. Now that beggar is well. Now that beggar is there with Abraham. He's there and he has plenty. And he's lacking for nothing. And that man now that didn't seem to lack for anything in this world is grievously tormented in the flames of hell. That's why we need to think about Jesus and getting saved. So people don't want to believe you when you preach something like that. They want to go on in their way. And they want to ignore the fact that one day that could happen to them. Die and wind up there. You could wind up there with that man. Hell must be a horrible place, huh? You know, there's a difference between hell and the lake of fire and the second death. People are going to be raised up from hell to face judgment. And then they're going to be cast into a burning lake of fire from which they'll not survive. Hey, it's a lake of fire and torment, and there's no escape from it. So we best bear in our mind in how serious the matter is. Do you believe the Lord would have pleasure in such a day? Do you believe he'll be happy to put men there? No, sir. I don't believe God will be happy to place anyone there. God has expressed his way and expressed his word, and his way and his word is clear. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. A man must will in his own heart. He wants to be saved and have life forever. Now we can will of ourselves to say, no, I don't want it. No, I don't want it now. The gospel of Jesus Christ, should it be a question where I should debate in my own heart as to say, do I want it? Do I want it now? Will has got to play some part in our hearts. We've got to will to want that. We've got to look at that in our heart and say, look, I need that salvation. I'm going after that salvation. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven, and I'm not going to let that happen to me, that I'm in that position or in that place where I refuse the love and refuse the mercies of God and then wind up in such trouble that there's no way out. What is the remedy for that? God is honorable. God is just. God's not going to condemn anybody to the lake of fire. Hey, wait a minute, not amen now. That's not that you're jumping in there too quick with that amen. I said God now. Hey, he's not in the place now where he's having any joy of condemning men. No. Before God will condemn any man to hell, he's going to come to judgment. He's going to have a trial. He's going to be brought before that great throne to stand. Boy, we would seem so small before this great white throne. There the Lord sits upon his throne, and there the books are open, and he's going to judge. And if you're not saved, he's going to judge you out of the book. And the judgment, what's he going to look at? He's going to look at the life you've lived. He's going to look at what you've done with your life. He's going to look at what you've done. He's going to look at the record of your sins, the very sins you've committed. He's going to take into account all that you've ever did. And he's going to judge you accordingly. But what one might look at to say, the greatest weight in the judgment is this. Salvation can be yours today for asking. For embracing it and believing it. But waiting, putting it off until you die and not saved. I could have had all my sins forgiven. I could have been a Christian living for God with my heart. I could have been so cleansed, and I never would have came to such a horrible end, to such a horrible place. So man is denying himself of the remedy. It's like a man is real sick and someone said, look, I've got a medicine to cure you in the day. And he says, I don't want it. I don't want it. And he wouldn't take it. Well, now he doesn't know whether it cure him or whether it wouldn't. Listen, bear in our mind, God is a remedy. It will cure. No questions. The remedy is the gospel. The remedy is embracing it, isn't it? The remedy is believing it. The remedy is taking Jesus into your heart to love and to serve and to walk with him, believing that he died for you, believing that he was gloriously raised from the dead for our sanctification, for our justification, that his shed blood is God's remedy for us and our sins to be forgiven and blotted out. Now, why should a man die in his sins then? Let's not be ignorant. Without Jesus, that's exactly what happens. So that rich man, he died and he went there. But he still has to go from there to the white throne, to the judgment. And how long has he been there? He's been there a couple thousand years. Ooh. He said it was terrible there. That's the word we have. It was terrible. The flames were grievous there. But let's be thankful tonight. Christ died to save us from our sins. Are you thankful? I thank God tonight for everyone in this place that believes that Jesus died for you. I thank God for every one of you that saw a day when you prayed and you called upon the Lord and you invited him into your heart and life. You invited him into your heart as your Savior and you turned to believe on him and embrace him as Lord and your Lord and your Savior, and he saved your soul. Oh, what a blessing you have. What a blessing you have. Can you say amen? What a blessing. Heaven is assured to us. Heaven is our place. And let's not kid ourselves at all. There's a lot of folks who haven't made any preparations. And what will they do? You know, as a general rule, when death comes, it can be so severe and so quick many times, you don't have a chance to do anything. You don't have a chance to even pray. I wouldn't want to be caught in that state. And there you are, and you're facing it. And what can you do? And if somebody comes by to tell you about it, you don't want to hear them. That's what many people do. And they don't want to hear. And they just die in their sins. But between that last breath and that last sight, hey, they passed over into that darkness. That's dark out there. They passed over into that darkness. There's no light there. Hey, it's not a place of light. If you want a place of light, the gospel brings us to light. The gospel is light. It's the light of men that we can see and know. So tonight, let's hold fast. Let's not in ourselves by any means. Let's not fail somebody that needs to hear us. Let's be in this realm to where we say, there's a lot of people need us to talk. And though they don't seem to want us to, why shouldn't we be more bold to speak up and say it anyways? Why should we hide the gospel? Why should we fear to say it, right? I would rather some man confront me to my face and say, look, young man, you're lost, you're on your way to hell, and if you don't get saved, you know what's going to happen, than to just come by and say, well, and not really open our mouth and speak the truth, and we can just leave him go, not care. So let's do our part. Could we all say amen to that? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Can we say amen to that? Well, I like the words of Jesus. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not then is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hey, that's God's true word, isn't it? So you glad you're saved tonight? If you had to do it over again, would you want to go this way? Oh my, what a way to go. It's been pleasant. Has it been sweet? Somebody said, I've had some trials. Have you had some trials? Trials don't diminish your salvation a bit. Hey, we'll be tried. Hey, there'll be trying days. It's like we say in the world, well, there's going to be some rainy days. Yeah, there's going to be some days that's going to require us that we may have to just get on our face and pray a little. May require of us that we get real serious. May come a day when we're real sick and we really need help. And we'll need somebody who will really pray with us and pray for us. There comes a day, sure. But that's not the day that concerns me so much as coming to that day to face this and you're not saved. Here we are at the end of life and we're not saved. Boy, that is tragic. That is a terrible loss. Well, why don't we all stand? We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight that we could be in church one more time. We can be in church one more time, Lord. Looking up to you, we look to the author, to the finisher of our faith. We look unto Jesus Christ, the Lord. We look to the Holy One who can save us from our sins, giving life to all who believe. And, oh God, tonight we thank you we could preach the gospel. Lord, we could talk about the remedy for sin, how you could rise up from sin and find life by surrendering your heart to Jesus. Oh God, would you be merciful? Oh God, would you be merciful, Lord, to all of our hearts? Let not one of us, Lord, be in the realm where we would be lost. Oh God, you touch deeply every one of our hearts. May we have that peace and joy and full assurance of salvation. Oh God, and walk with thee. And while our eyes are closed and we're praying, is there a soul here in church tonight? And you're not saved and you need Jesus. And tonight you'd like to find Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. Is there one tonight in hearing God's word? It causes you to think about your soul. Causes you to think about what you need to do. You need him. You need to turn to the Lord tonight. Is there one here tonight? You feel that urge in your spirit. You want to come to the Lord and you'd like to come down this altar and Brother Daly would pray for you and seek God that has saved your soul. Is there one here tonight? You'd want to come. Hey, be bold for your life and step right out in the aisle and come right down here. You're coming for salvation. You're coming to have your soul saved. Now you can hold back, but that won't get you salvation. You can yield up and come to Jesus. You'll find it at this altar tonight if you come in faith. Is there one here tonight? You need the Lord. You need the Lord's mercy. He's merciful. Is there one here? Do I see a hand there anywhere? Hey, you're having a struggle to want to move out. Hey, you feel inside, you know you need to, but the devil says don't go. Don't yield. Do you need Jesus? Hey, let's put the devil under feet. Let's think about eternal life. Is there one? You want to come and you want me to pray with you tonight? Is there one? Is there one here tonight? You're not saved. You need Jesus. You want to find forgiveness. You want to find joy and peace. Hey, the door's open. Come while the door is open. Jesus will save you. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. Lord, touch hearts here tonight. Let there not be one soul, Lord, who just be careless, Lord, about their soul and miss the day of great blessing. God, we're thankful unto you. Thank you, Jesus.